Good afternoon. Thank you for being here. And if by some chance there's any caregiver who walked the journey with Vincent, our prayers and love go out to you. If I go back some 20 years or so, I remember our family and friends gathered in the sacred space for many weddings and baptisms and other sacraments. But as time has moved on, and age creeps up on our generations, it seems we've been here way too often to mourn the death of our loved ones. And so this afternoon, we remember the life and the love of Vincent. As we all know, Vincent was mentally disabled since birth, which had an enormous impact on him and his entire family, especially through his childhood years. Being honest, life was not always easy for everyone in many ways, but yielding many opportunities on how to best love and how to show compassion. In the second reading today, we heard, if our earthly dwelling should be destroyed, we have a building from God. For what is seen is transitory, what is unseen is eternal. See, in many ways, Vincent's earthly dwelling, his physical and mental capacities were much diminished. So for most people, when they encountered Vincent, they focused on what was seen, a grown man functioning as a child the best he could. But if one took the time to really be present to Vincent, he would have been blessed by what was not seen, and thus experienced Vincent's internal divine presence and love that he had for his family and those close to him. And while Vincent was physically and emotionally disabled, when it came to love, he had the capacity to be very able indeed. Being in the season of Lent while writing this homily gave me reason to pause and to believe that in some respect, I think Vincent had an advantage over most, if not all of us. See, for Lent is this 40-day season where we're called to spend time to remember what is real. It's a time to open our eyes on how numb we've become to our obsessions and addictions in our lives. It's a time to remember who we really are in Christ. It's a time to examine the cracks and the wounds of our lives, to allow the light of Christ to shine forth from those cracks and onto others. For we all wrestle with this lifetime battle of living our true self and not hiding behind our false self. You see, for Vincent, there was no false self. He had no capacity to build up some fake image to live behind. For when you were with Vincent, all you would hear and see is true self. And honestly, at its core, trust me, he was never one to mince words. But to be frank with you, that at times it did come with a price. So just ask any of the extended family members who are here. For when they were dating, Vincent had a way of honestly seeing other people as they were. And if he saw someone who was insincere or maybe a bit disingenuous, he would just tell you. You shouldn't be going out with that person. So we all got used to his critiques of people who may have been dating family members. And truth be told, as time would eventually tell, he was usually right. The magic of Vincent was his innate ability to merge together grace and love and laughter. Like the time his mom took him to see Dr. Luce, who had a full-size skeleton model in his office. Now, while I wasn't there personally, I have to assume that whatever reason, Dr. Luce perhaps aggravated Vincent a little bit. So Vincent walked over to the skeleton and grabbed its hand and said, Dr. Luce, I have a bone to pick with you. What are you going to say, you know? One of Vincent's favorite family activities was when we would all pile into cars to see the Christmas lights at Cozier's Village in Burnville, or in Vincent's vernacular, it was simply going to Birdville. So when the day came for the annual excursion, he was beyond excited the moment he woke up. So all you would hear every hour, we're going to Birdville, we're going to Birdville. Yes, Vincent, I know, we're going. And he would go around and remind everyone every hour. So this one year came around and we all piled in the car and we headed to our road trip to Birdville. And truth be told, the weather was, it was really crappy. Frankly, I have no idea why we were even driving on the road other than Vincent in our ear saying he had to go to Birdville. So Charlie was driving in the car that Vincent and I and a few others were in, and his excitement was palpable in so many ways. And why wouldn't it be? There's nothing like coming over that last mountain and seeing the glowing lights of the village sparkling below. But on this one night, as we came over the hill, all we saw was the deepest darkness you could ever imagine. The village was closed due to weather, which frankly, in hindsight, made complete sense. But poor Charlie, man, he took a licking from Vincent, blaming him for driving too slow. You're driving too slow and we're late, we're late. So we assured Vincent that Charlie had nothing to do with it. And he finally calmed down. He said, okay, okay, but I still get my ice cream and now I get French fries with my ice cream. So that's what we did. And off we went, laughing all the way to the restaurant. Then it was only 6 years ago, Vincent needed surgery that carried some possible side effects. And sure enough, when he woke from that operation, he had no use of his legs and little use of his arms. Once again, life took a dramatic turn for Vincent and the family. But as frustrated as he was at times, he would continue to use love and humor and grace to get through the days. And one of his favorite activities when Teresa and I would visit would be to build his photo scrapbooks. So Teresa would bring this vast collection of photos, old and new, and Vincent would sit there and direct Teresa exactly what photo he wanted, exactly where it was going to go on the page. And I just wish I had taped some of these sessions. For you see, Vincent had a memory that was ironclad and ran deep. So, you know, once we showed him a 20-year-old picture of him on the boardwalk with a bunch of people, and immediately he said who was there, when it was, where we were, and what happened that day. And Teresa and I are looking at each other and going, yeah, he's actually right. How did he do that? If we showed him an old picture of one of his siblings dating someone, no matter how long ago it was, he gave you the whole history of the relationship, according to Vincent. And when you showed him a picture of one of the newborn family members, many that we have now, you would see love gushing forth from him. See divine love flowing through the recognition of divine love in the other. But, you know, don't kid yourself. Many did not want to be bothered to take the time to look past Vincent's disabilities, and thus they chose to ignore him. But that never stopped him from looking through you and with you and in you. As you know, in the past 2 years, we've been here to say goodbye to both Pat and Pete. I can still remember the handful of us that went to the nursing home that day to bring Vincent down to the chapel to break the news to him that his mom had died. We had a beautiful prayer service for him and for her. And Vincent deep down knew what took place and how much he missed his mom and soon found out how much he'd be missing his dad. And from that moment on, all he wanted to do was be with his parents. And he'd bring it up every time we saw him. And now, his wish has come true. You know, in closing, in the gospel story that I just read, we hear that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead and then asks the family to remove the bonds that were tied around their brother. So likewise, Vincent's life is a reminder to all of us to remove the bonds that we're so wrapped up with that we can, so that we can be as free as Vincent was to live the life that God has granted each of us, to live who we truly are in Christ. For now, Vincent is totally free from all his earthly bonds and disabilities as he's welcomed to the heavenly kingdom, welcomed by his parents and all of our loved ones who have gone before us. For he now rests in a place for the blind see and the deaf hear, and indeed the lame now walk. And thus we can rejoice that Vincent now dances with joy and sings from his heart, holding his parents' hands as he's embraced by our ever-loving, merciful, and compassionate God.